Why? It's a lie.
In our exciting 30th Packed Podgram, lobsters can't die. Crossing your legs causes varicose veins. You can fight off a shark by punching it in the nose. And pumpkin pie filling in a can is mushed up pumpkin in a can. Each of those statements, not really true. So let's find out.
Why? It's a lie.
You know, if it weren't for dirty predators like humans, lobsters would live forever because they don't age. Haven't you heard that? Is it true? Well, in a word, no. But like most answers, it needs a longer explanation. When it comes to aging, lobsters have one main advantage, and it has to do with their cells. Our cell replication is limited due to these things called telomeres. These are things that stop our strands of DNA from coming undone and getting messed up with other chromosomes close by. Every time our cells divide, our telomeres get shorter. So eventually, the cells die because our telomeres aren't doing their job. They get old. By the way, our cells replicate between 40 and 70 times. So that's one of the ways that we die. Lobsters don't have that particular problem. They have an extra thing called a telomerase. Am I saying that right? Telomerase, which constantly repairs their telomeres. So their DNA and their cells can continue to replicate indefinitely. So, well, there you go, lobsters are immortal. Wait, cell death is only one way that we can die. We can get a disease. There are environmental factors. And there are other problems that come with old age. So lobsters can die by most of the other ways we do. And they have their own special way to die. Well, they have two other ways to die. One is us eating them. The other one is fairly unique to them. It's called molting. Lobsters grow in size during something called molting, in which they shed their hard exoskeleton before growing a new one around their new, bigger body. A young lobster may molt several dozen times before its first birthday as it rapidly grows. The process slows to about once a year, and by about age 7, then once every 2 or 3 years after that. The largest lobster ever caught weighed in at 44 pounds. A regular type lobster you'll find in the store or restaurant usually comes in at about 1 to 2 pounds, and it's around 5 to 10 years old. Usually, the bigger the lobster, the greater its age. However, this molting takes more and more energy as the lobster increases in size and the amount of effort it takes. For even a 30 to 50 year old lobster to molt, it kills between 10 and 15% of the lobsters every year. So some elderly lobsters appear to stop molting altogether because they just can't do it anymore. Much like an elderly human is often more susceptible to things like pneumonia for various age-related reasons, this is a major problem for the lobsters. Because they get something, not pneumonia, they get shell disease. A bacterial infection in the shell that can form scar tissue between the lobster and the shell. If they're able to molt again later, then they have the problem of scar tissue binding their inner body to the shell, which can cause the lobster to become stuck and die. Shell disease can also lead to problems like shell rotting, which means the lobster that no longer molts dies. Finally, if we know lobsters die, how old do they get? Well, it's hard to figure that out because when they molt, they shed their shell, their digestive tract, and other stuff. So for what's been observed, the average lifespan in the wild of the various types of lobsters out there is thought to be about 30 years for males and about 50 to 60 years for females. By the way, another lobster myth is that lobsters mate for life. In fact, the truth is the opposite. Male lobsters will pretty much get busy with every female that comes a-knockin'. And in the lobster world, the females do a lot of knocking. So, lobsters being immortal? That's why it's a lie. Crossing your legs causes varicose veins. Some of you may be going, what the heck are varicose veins? Well, others are now going, I wish I didn't know what varicose veins were. Well, they aren't the worst things in the world. Varicose veins are veins. Yeah. Usually in the leg that have become enlarged and twisted. Other websites refer to them as puffy veins that stick out so you can see them. About half of all women and 15% of men over 50 have to deal with some variation of varicose veins. It comes about by blood pooling in your legs. Does crossing your legs cause varicose veins, though? Well, not according to studies that have been done. What does cause varicose veins? Well, here are a few things that contribute or contribute, as my British and French friends say. For men, smoking is a big factor. So is a sedentary lifestyle. That means you don't exercise a lot. For women, wearing high heels can increase your chance of getting varicose veins, and having a job where you stand all day can also increase your risk. But the main risk factors include being obese, having high blood pressure, and a lack of exercise. So you see what's missing from that list? Crossing your legs. So, crossing your legs causing varicose veins? That's why it's a lie. So if a shark is getting in your face, the best thing to do is punch it in the nose. Then it will scurry away with its tail between... Well, it'll scurry away. It'll retreat because its nose is super sensitive. Well, most anyone who knows sharks would say this is not true. And punching a shark in the nose is not a good idea. You know, I remember seeing this in my childhood, and even as a child, there was one question that popped up regarding punching a shark in the nose, doing this action. Isn't there a really good chance that the shark's going to open its mouth and eat your hand while you're trying to punch it in the nose underwater? Now, we should clarify that the odds of a shark attacking you are really, really, really low. The list of things that are more likely to befall you is super long. But just so we can get this, let's imagine a great white shark decides to go against its usual routine and it comes really close to you. Is it a good idea to punch it in the nose? Most real experts say no. According to the book, Don't Go to Work on Monday, punching a shark in the nose is kind of like using your hands to put out a fire. That's how they put it. Punching a creature in a spot just centimeters away from its most dangerous weapon, its razor-sharp, teeth-filled mouth, does not seem like a good idea. Also, if you're underwater, how powerful is your punch going to be? Also, the snout of a shark isn't really that sensitive of an area. If you really want to get into it with a shark, you know what's more sensitive? The shark's eyes. Yeah, it might be easier and better to gouge than to punch. And also more sensitive? The shark's gills. So, punching a shark in the nose, a great way to make it run away from you? That's why it's a lie. You know, it makes perfect sense to me. If it says pumpkin pie filling on the can, the main ingredient must be pureed pumpkin. But that long-held belief of mine was recently squashed when I read that canned pumpkin might not be made of pumpkin at all. Food and Wine reports that cans of pumpkin puree are actually made of squash. In fact, a bunch of different types of squashes. It goes on to say that most pumpkin purees are a mix of winter squashes, like the familiar butternut squash, and the less familiar Golden Delicious and Hubbard. Here in Canada, Golden Delicious is an apple. Meanwhile, Libby's, the largest pumpkin puree brand, has its own unique brand of squash that it developed called the Dickinson, which is more closely related to a butternut squash than a pumpkin. But why? And how can they get away with this? Well, in the States, the FDA is vague about what counts as pumpkin, which allows companies to pack unspecified squashes into their purees and still list pumpkin as the sole ingredient. They can even say 100% pumpkin. But why even do this in the first place? Well, it turns out there's a pretty good reason. Even though our friends, pumpkins, are a Halloween staple and really a quintessential part of autumn, they don't taste that great. Many pumpkins are watery and stringy. So turning a pumpkin into a puree takes more work and it gives you a less of a reward, as it doesn't taste as good, than other sweeter winter squashes. But do you want to have a squash pie? No. So they call it pumpkin pie. So pumpkin pie filling being made totally out of pumpkins? That's why it's a lie. Remember, hearing from you is like finding a $20 bill in your old spring fall coat. If you like anything about this report, please take 30 seconds and give us 5 stars on iTunes. That doesn't cost you anything and it helps get the word out. You could like something on the Facebook page. Maybe tell a friend, especially a young person. Let's make sure the next generation thinks more critically than, well, mine. A generation that goes, wait a second, just because that person threw a snowball in a room, that doesn't mean that global warming is a myth. That sounds like a lie. Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening to
Why It's a Lie. Created by Jim and helped out by friends like me. I'm Mark. Please subscribe to Why It's a Lie on iTunes and leave awesome reviews. Thanks for listening.